Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Down at Third Man podcast. We're back again. We got through a live episode without being banned, so even with Aid high on his southern comfort there, even he couldn't get us banned without the filter, so we're doing well. We're getting away with it still. Hope everyone's well at home. I'm sure the boys are well. We'll get over to them in a minute. Just like to, as always, say a big thank you to Woodstock for supporting us. And please, please go online if you can get some new kit from them and use our discount code, because you may as well get yourselves 25% off while you're on there. No point paying full price if you don't have to. So, with me tonight, I've got the usual suspects in Jono and Aid, although Jono will have to depart early tonight. Too many committee things to do by the sounds of it.
Busy man.
Busy man.
That's what you get for being a man of power.
Exactly. As you can hear, there's Dude with his half a pint of Southern Comfort by looks of it.
I'll see how it goes, mate. I'll see how it goes.
Gold. And we've also got returning with us tonight to give up his money to charity. We've got Andy Mountford, famous from Betley.
Might be the only famous thing from Betley.
There we go, Lewis.
Yeah.
He's from Wood Lane now, mate. He's not from from Betley anymore.
Right then. So tonight we did promise that we'd obviously announce our giveaway winners. So the giveaway was given to us, the three prizes by Woodstock, three really good duffel bags. I'm sure Jono and Aid are still enjoying their bags.
I wanted a duffel bag for ages, so I'm very, very, very happy with mine.
That's what I like to hear.
It's very smart, isn't it?
Mm.
Good stuff. So we've got three of them to give away, and what we decided to do for make it as fair as possible is that we'd each pick a best story. So each of the lads are going to read out the person who they've picked, and they're going to read out the story. I'm still waiting for Jono to send me my favoured story, but I'm sure he will in a second.
Sorry.
It's all right, mate. I don't mind. So what we'll do to start with while we're waiting for that is we're going to let Aid go first and read out who his winner is. And
before he starts reading, I'm really happy. Can we just throw it out there that Aid got a piece of maths right earlier for the Slogging It Pod competition?
That was class, wasn't it, that?
There was a host of genuinely educated people all over Twitter couldn't figure out simple maths, and there Aid is. Bang, straight in, no problem.
That's what getting a C in maths does for you.
I think the key thing there was as simple was where it all clicked in, mate.
All right.
I was impressed, dude. I was impressed, mate. Don't get me wrong. Go on then, dude. Lead us away.
All right, mate. I've gone for Nick Buxton's story, and it is quite a brilliant story, actually. So he's poor. This was an under-18s game for Longton. They were playing at Longton against Modishill on a very wet and cold Sunday morning. And after a session on the ale the night before, we opened the bowling with a spinner, you know, as you do. Tollgate end, first ball, gone to the moon, thinking, Jesus, this is going to be a long morning. Myself and Mickey Dyer were on the boundary rope, wearing three jumpers each, in which case I'd merged from behind the side screen, at which point I'd been violently sick all down the front of me white, snake bite and black, and looked like I'd been stabbed in the chest. In the distance, I saw my proud parents driving away. As I've looked up, seeing Mr. Dyer crying of laughter, shouting, I'm all over this catch. With what I could see with amazing hands, the ball crashed through his safe hands, casting a massive blow to his forehead, and the ball going for six as Dyer was shouting, ah, my fucking head. We lost by 6 runs.
I think that's a fair enough winner. I think that had a bit of it all in there. Under-18s cricket involving everyone being hungover, it being cold, it being wet, being village, and yeah, fair play.
Being sick.
The sick and blood.
That's why I've gone for it.
Yeah, it throws me back to a couple of under-18s games I remember, like including, I remember seeing, we'll call him, you know him, mate, Nath Porter. We're in school, don't we? I've seen him both hammered, playing Port Hill, hit the first ball for 4, and then the next ball completely miss. It stumps everywhere, and he said he thought it was the same ball as before. and it could literally have not been any different. And then I've also seen him rolling a fag on the boundary and taking a catch one-handed while still holding his fag in the other hand, which was great Sunday morning under-18s cricket for you. Right, Jono, what did you pick as your winner?
I've picked a story from a lad from Gotham. Is it Gotham? Gotham.
Gotham, apparently, but they'll get a bit Gotham. Upset.
It's where Batman lives, mate. So Batman's cricket club. Gotham cricket club. What was his name to him? I've forgotten his name. Jim Burton, who sent the story in. They were playing at the Wedgwood Festival. Am I right there, Tim? Is that where it was?
Yes, they came a couple of years ago.
The Wedgwood Cricket Festival. And this was, I thought this was a brilliant entry because not only did I get a story that was decent enough, but it also came with video evidence, which it caused great hilarity to myself. Was it the final? I think it was the final.
Yeah, the final came down between Gotham and ourselves, Wedgwood.
Gotham and Wedgwood. and Josh Clayton is bowling the last over for those who play a bit of local cricket. Good lad, Josh is. And basically, Wedgwood lose the game from basically an impossible position. Gotham had no right to win the game from where they were. And in the space of two balls, I mean, the description was pretty good, but actually seeing the video of it is even better. First and foremost, seeing Josh Clayton absolutely demolish a set of stumps was a good laugh. And then the following ball, after they actually lost, seeing him launch the match ball about 80 yards onto the car park and over the road was an absolute delight. So Jim Burton, for an absolutely great story and a great video as well to actually back up the story. Big well done, mate. That was very, very entertaining to see a full meltdown.
Honestly, one of the funniest things I've seen. I was filming it live on Facebook, and I've never had to apologise so many times for swearing because it was meant to be a family fun day. And that last over was just effing and jeffing from Josh the whole way through. And as you say, stumps were everywhere. They took a few minutes to put back in place. And then, yeah, no one ever found that match ball. So it might be in someone's car. It might be down the drain. Might be in the canal, to be fair, because he definitely won it.
Can you remember our family fun day? I think it was the cry day, John, I wanted. Ali Khan was batting. And you've got everyone who's leathered, obviously, on the far side, lying on the grass, having a few beers. No one's like paying attention to the cricket. And Ali Khan's just teeing off, hitting sixes. And he's nearly hit like four kids, hasn't he? And we're trying to tell him, hit it the other side. But, you know, it's like talking to a brick wall, isn't it?
Very much so.
Right, and then my choice of winner goes to Nick from Mere Heath. And I felt like this sort of story was definitely going to be the sort of story we were always going to get and was always going to win. So he says they were playing in the Talbot Cup final, a nice hot day, and the ground was packed, plenty of people in watching. He got a nice close game, and towards the end, he managed to get a run out with a direct hit from out on the boundary. They win the game and they get the beers in, as you do, get in the changing rooms, have a shower, getting ready for the shower, and just as he's about to jump in shower, he gets grabbed by Cort and Alan Lockett, so they're guilty, it seems, and someone else, so someone managed to get away without being named here, so fair play to them, and he was carried bollock naked to the middle of the square and dumped. The big crowd was still there enjoying the drink on a nice sunny day, and he had to then walk back doing the walk of shame, holding it, is what he calls it, in his hands on his way back to the dressing room. He also does mention that he could also tell us a story about him abusing Alex Hales twice in a week. And I feel like he might have to send that one in for another week, to be fair. But I like that, Nick. I'm always a fan of people being embarrassed in front of big, sunny crowds that probably, I'm guessing, may have included children, so it probably shouldn't be laughing at it. But let's be honest, it's always good for
As someone who's heard those stories about Alex Hales, I fear they could get us censored by the ECB, so I think it's probably best if we leave them off, if at all.
Well, the ECB don't like Alex Hales that much, so I don't think they'll mind.
That is true.
A plethora of choices, haven't you, of Alex Hales stories?
Yeah, I'm sure we have. I'm sure there's plenty. So we've got a three winners, but a big thanks also to all the other people who entered. We did have some really good stories. It was hard to pick. And I mean, Mark Cousins, I'm sure, will be very disappointed at his story about Robbie Kenning literally crawling off a pitch, throwing up after breaking his finger, didn't win. But that's
the best bit about that story, Turner, when I was reading it, was I didn't know where it was going. Because it just sounded like he'd been hitting the nuts. And then
I thought there was quite a few stories like that, you know, yeah, where
next minute
I don't know whether it was like low literacy levels around the cricketers of Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire, but yeah, I didn't really understand a few of the stories, and then they finally got going towards the latter half, which was a good laugh. Enjoyed it.
But yeah, so thanks to the guys who've sent in the stories, because we've had a good laugh. Well done to the three winners. If they can contact me through the Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, we'll sort out delivering them. Typical that Jim in Nottingham wins. Can't just drop his off at his door, can I?
Can't make it have your mate.
I know, we might have to wait till lockdown's over. But yeah, thank you to everyone who has entered and who got involved, and a big thanks to Woodstock again. Right then, guys, should we actually get on to talking about some cricket that's happened in the last few days?
Do we have to?
Wow.
Yeah, after what I watched today.
Do you want me to start with the bad stuff or the good stuff? I'm going to let you
bad.
Choose.
John likes to go for the negativity, so we'll go with the negativity.
Get it out of the way.
So, first of all, and I'm going to let our guest Andy have the first comment on this. India, England. England all out for 205. India finish the day on 24 for 1. Akshar Patel gets 4 again. I don't really know where else to go with this other than what did we think, first of all, of the selection? Because it was a shock. I don't think anyone predicted it.
I probably wouldn't have gone in with a two-man seam attack containing one bloke who's injured. I think that's probably your first.
Injured and got the shits.
Yeah.
And ginger in that heat.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I would give it. I mean, what did Stone do wrong? He bowled well in that. Was it
a very, very fine question, Andy?
No, the reason was he did well. So as soon as you do well, you're out.
Yeah.
He needs a rest.
You can say, well, we're lengthening the batting, but if you lengthen the batting, you need to make more than 205.
To be fair, though, Lawrence come in and got the runs. He wouldn't have played it, probably, would he?
Yeah, we'd have got 160 if it weren't for him.
But he was out to a crap shot. But yes, he batted well before that.
I don't know whether we can really kind of. I don't know whether we can't just brush them all with that same tarnish them all there with that one.
I thought in fairness, I thought folks probably got done by the same way everybody's been getting out this series, but simply was out to a
missing a straight one gap
between bat and pad, which isn't a good look for a bloke who's in the pad to defend.
Yeah. I didn't mind the picking the extra batsman, but it just screamed to me the decision would have been, and I know they couldn't make it because obviously they weren't available, but you wanted Wokes or Curran. That was the issue. You wanted Wokes or Curran to bat it, probably 7 would it have been, and you'd have had a lot. Personally, I'd have had Lovington instead of Bairstow, but either way, that was the issue. They haven't got Curran or Wokes available, which I know is perfectly understandable because of the rotation and whatever. And they couldn't get Curran back in time, but I think they obviously haven't planned it that well because they left themselves in a bit of a hole, as in they had to pick an extra batsman. And as you say, Stokes has never apparently until he opened the bowling today, Stokes was the best bowler to have in terms of most wickets taken to have never opened the bowling in a test. Apparently,
well, I think things are a bit dodgy, don't we? Because was it in New Zealand? Was it Ollie Pope that kept wickets?
Well, yeah, we've had it all.
It's like, oh yeah, he doesn't keep at all in county cricket, but yeah, he all meets. Yeah,
fourth choice for his county, but we'll love
him. Yeah, it's a bit like in club cricket, isn't it? When your second team keeper's away and your other one's injured, and you're like, oh, Turner, he all meets, have the gloves.
Mate, that was Wedgie's all the last season. We had about four different keepers in the seconds, including me, worryingly. we'll move on from selection because I feel like everyone else has done it to death, but pitch was all right. So what about the performance? Who wants to go in first? I feel like Jono probably wants to go in first on the batting as the batsman.
Not good today, and we didn't have an excuse for it either. I don't think there's any real demons in that pitch for the first time that I can actually say that. It just looks like a pretty bog-standard Indian track. No real demons, no real issues with it. We've been beaten on both edges of the bat, which is a bit of a worry. We've been out, slogging. I'm just going to say slogging was probably what it was. Not very good.
Would you say it's a technical thing or a mental thing? Because I'm edging towards it's just in their head completely, and they just can't get themselves away from it. Because even Stokes and Lawrence did well, and then fell back into that mindset thing of just playing the wrong ball again.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know, because I think it's tough to say. Because I'd probably hasten for mental, just because you've got Joe Root, who made 200, not 2-3 test matches ago. And his technique looked pretty sound then. And he's got done today and not got any. So I'd say that's probably a mental thing. So your captain's proved 2 test matches ago that he's capable of getting 200 on his own, yet the rest of us can't manage 200 between us. So I'm gonna hasten for it's in the reds.
I would, to be fair, as much as they were shy, let's be honest, I've got to give it to India. I thought it was the best they probably bowled this series, which takes some doing because they bowl well throughout. I'm going to pass this on to Aid, seeing as he is our bowler in the group, apparently. He wants to claim he's an all-rounder, but we'll class him as a bowler, because that's what he's there for, isn't he, really, Jono? So, dude, what did you think of, to be fair, Siraj and Ishant started off well. Obviously, Jimmy did well for England, but looking at the Indians, what did you make of the bowling display?
Indian spinners are miles better than ours. Siraj looked quite sharp actually today, to be fair. And that ball he got with Root actually come back in quite a fair bit, didn't it? So
it was a good, to be fair, it was a jaffer. It was a good nut.
Yeah. Anderson does his normal bowl class and gets better with age. And we just can't bat in spinning condition. Well, there wasn't really spinning there, was it? There was like the odd one, and I've just said it's probably like a day two pitch, wasn't it, I'd say. I wouldn't say it was just obviously as flat as that first test or anything like that, but you know, it's nowhere near as bad as the day four or day five pitches that they produced in the other two. What's been happening is it just seems to be we win the toss, we're happy for 10 minutes, we go out and bat, and then we're back to depressed.
That's a fair point. Interesting one for you. Akshar Patel took another wicket, then he was his second ball. At one point, he was averaging less than 10. He was in single figures for his average at one point.
So is he batting it?
but I don't think that matters too much when you're taking fours and fives every time. Didn't know his real name isn't actually Akshar Patel. It's Akshar, but his teacher who had to fill in his passport and driving license form spelt it wrong, so he's now known as Axar, even though his name's Akshar. Never thought I'd hear something so random and crap on Talks. I think it was Talk Sport. Jared Kimber. I like Jared Kimber, but he does go on talks about some right random stuff. But I just found it quite funny because, let's be honest, there's nothing else we can critique him on other than the fact that he obviously hasn't got his right name. That's about the only thing wrong with the bloke. Fair play to him. Looking ahead at, I was going to say the next 4 days, but I've got a feeling it might be more like 2, possibly to push 3 days. What are we looking at? What are we thinking? What are you just hoping for, shall we say? Go on, Jono.
Probably the same as I said on this time last week, mate. I just want a bit of fight, really, more than anything. I think, last week we had the bit of fight that we showed on day two, and then we folded again. So we kind of like wasted what we'd done. So a bit of fight, I think we'll do well to bowl them out for anything round our score. I think that'll be an absolutely monumental effort, and then it'll be down to the bat again. So, you know what, if we can get them down to anything around what we got, then I'll be pretty happy with that, and maybe take it 3-4, maybe even 5 days. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, Andy, what are you thinking, mate?
India lead of 120. And then they'll chase about 130 sometime on Sunday. Probably for none. Don Best balls and over like he did today, then it'd certainly be for none.
Even I could land the ball more than he could.
Yeah. Right. How does anybody bowl a no ball first? You've got six balls to bowl. At least make sure you can actually bowl six balls rather than...
seven or eight.
Right, yeah.
he didn't seem great at the end of the day, especially after all his talk about being in a better place. It was a bit... wasn't great. Dude, what are you thinking, mate? Any chance of an England fight back?
No. Get it over and done with as quick as we can and get on to the stuff we're good at, the wide ball stuff. Starting on Friday, it's a better time for watching. Middle of the afternoon on Friday and a few beers, mate, and watch us hopefully win a game.
Oh, let's hope so. I must admit, I never thought I'd say this, but I had Indian fans on Twitter telling us that we were being a bit too negative and England are more than in this game. That few wickets tomorrow, bowl India out for less than 250, which is more than possible, and England could win it. And the big issue there is that relies on not England taking wickets, but England actually then batting well the second time, which...
I could see us bowling out 250.
Yeah, but I can't see us scoring another 200, 250 the second time.
Even if they get 250, we you know, they won't have to bat again.
Well, probably. Well, that's a bit harsh, but yeah, probably true. Last thing on India-England, because I don't want to bog us down with that, because otherwise I think we might end up in tears. Appointed some new coaches, although they've technically always, well, they've been there for a while. Trescothick as head coach, batting coach. Jeetan Patel as spinning coach, and then John Lewis as pace coach. Any thoughts on that? I'm just glad to see us actually having a spinning coach after about 7 or 8 years of not having one and swapping between consultants.
Who are you going to?
I'm going to ask you, dude, just because you've spoke first.
Well, I always used to love watching Trescothick bat, so if he can get the opener's batting like he did, mate, that'd be nice. Obviously, my county team is Warwickshire, so I've seen a bit of Jeetan Patel, and yeah, he was a pretty decent spinner, so if he can get Don Best landing the ball, and, you know.
Yeah, task one, get him to actually make the ball bounce.
And John Lewis, the only really game I can remember watching John Lewis, mate, was it when we played the first 2020 against Australia?
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, What a great memory that was.
That's literally the only time I've seen of John Lewis, but yeah. Yeah, pretty decent appointments, I'd say.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Jono? Obviously, we've got a massive coaching setup, it seems, but is that what you need now?
I'm just well happy with Trescothick, mate. It's the one that stands out to me, Trescothick. And I don't know enough about bowling to know if John Lewis would be any good, but he was a decent enough cricketer. But Trescothick and Jeetan Patel, I'm the same as you. I'm happy we've got a full-time bowling coach. That's a spin bowling coach. I think that's a real positive because it gives him... if we are going to invest in the likes of Leach and Best, they need to be spending time with the best. And Jeetan Patel is one of those who's like on the list of most unlucky cricketers ever, because he was playing behind Daniel Vittori for most of his life. He'd have had 90 caps for some other country.
Yeah.
So we're happy with that. And Trescothick, Tresco is one of the best, isn't he? So
yeah.
Can't complain.
Yeah, he seems a lovely bloke, and just Tresco. And I was glad to see it because they were saying that like he now feels comfortable going on tour and being away from home and stuff, which I thought was really good because it obviously shows he must be feeling better within himself and in his mental health, which I thought was good. Any thoughts, Andy?
Much the same, really. I mean, they've been trying to recruit for these since December, so I'm assuming they've done a bit more homework than just checking Wikipedia for the averages. One who sort of isn't mentioned on there, Richard Dawson with the Lions, because he's done a great job at Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
Got him promoted to Div 2, got him... I think they won a one-day cup and they've been to finals day a couple of times, so he's shown he's a decent coach. They've I think they're not going to make us any worse, are they? You know, you've got three blokes who have been there, done it in English cricket.
That's it, isn't it? I don't think you can ask for much more, to be fair. I think it must, for me, it just must be better having permanent coaches. I can't, having these consultants that change each series, I can understand you might bring them in as well as a permanent coach to give a different idea, but surely it can't be good for people having a different person coaching them every 2 months. But that's just me guessing, to be fair.
You've got to rotate, mate.
Well, yeah, rotation of coaches as well. Interesting one. Right, we'll move on from England.
Sorry, we've already got Collingwood there, haven't we? He's sort of assistant coach.
Well, that again, yeah.
Trott has been
there as the batting coach for this one, but obviously I would assume now Tresco's taking over. So Trott may not be.
Was just Sri Lanka?
Yes, he was just Sri Lanka, mate.
I don't really pay attention to the coaches, to be honest.
I've noticed, mate, but I won't get to mention it. Looking at the rest of cricket then, outside of just India, England, we had another test match and it finished in 2 days. Afghanistan without their 3 or 4 stars, possibly even more than that, to be fair, because of Pakistan Super League and different things, absolutely crumbled. Lost in 2 days to Zimbabwe, whose captain Will...
Mighty cricketing nation.
Yeah.
Off.
Zimbabwe.
I actually managed to watch a little bit of that.
I watched a little bit, and the highlight of the game was still the Zimbabwe captain who hit, was it 119, Sean Williams, being given his Man of the Match award, which was 10,000 Afghanis, which works out at 92 quid. Fair. What a great prize to win. Pretty sure you get a better prize for winning Man of the Match on like the Talbot Cup final or something like that, but there you go.
Zimbabwean bowler, went to like 6'10" or something stupid.
Blessings Muzurabani. I've watched him play for Northampton against Derbyshire the other year in T20, mate. He's very hit and miss, I would
say. We nearly had him as a sub-pro a few years ago. honest story. We got offered him as a sub-pro. He hadn't played for Zimbabwe then, I don't think, at that point. He did. I think he was Zimbabwe A.
So he'd been quite young as well, to be fair.
So these Zimbabwean cricketers would have got more for Bignall End than they would have for getting Man of the Match in the Test game.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So that was the first one. New Zealand, Australia was the third T20 in the men's, and Australia won. Australia remembered how to win a game of cricket for first time in a while, it seems. Quite a reasonably interesting game. Glenn Maxwell broke a few seats. It's nothing massive to write home about. And then we get to the last couple of days. We had England beat New Zealand again. Tammy Beaumont on fire again, amongst others. And then we get to today. Well, last night. I think we've got to have a little quick chat about Kieran Pollard. I mean, I feel a bit bad for Dhananjaya. He takes a hat-trick in international cricket, one over, comes back the next over, and gets hit for 6 sixes. How on earth does that even happen? That scorecard is mental. There is literally, I think, is he one of the Bravos? He hit 4 off about 18 balls in a T20, but they won after 13 overs. Obviously, there was three golden ducks in the West Indies innings as well. That scorecard is just a treasure trove of absolute randomness.
I just love watching West Indies play like 2020 cricket. Like, if you think about what their team could be for that for the World 2020, it was like Nicholas Perran, Gale, Pollard, Russell,
Evan Lewis.
Lewis. Imagine that's like, probably Holder can give it a whack as well.
Fidel Edwards came back yesterday as well.
If you're standing in the field in the circle, mate, you're in danger.
Mate, you're in danger more in the crowd, I would say.
Yeah, to have a hat-trick and 6 sixes in a game. Wasn't there quite a bit of a rain delay as well?
Oh, mate, it was everything. The game literally had everything. And I almost stayed up and thought, I mean, watched all. And then I watched the first half hour and thought, now.
What time was it on?
It was about 10 o'clock, I think it started on over here. But yeah, interesting game, fair play. Kieran Pollard's now only the third ever cricketer to manage it as well. So fair play to him. He's in quite an illustrious little company there. But yeah, just what a game.
There was some serious clean hitting as well, by the way. Oh. They weren't just sixes, they were more like tens.
Yeah.
If he half hits it, it's going for 6. Anyway, have you seen the size of his arms?
Well, my favourite bit about it was I thought, oh my God, he's at 36 off and over. He must have got like half century or something. No, he was out for 38 off 11 balls. So he's at 36 off 6 and then off his other 5 has managed 2 and then got out.
Getting himself in.
Well, yeah. It's one way of looking at it. And then the other news from today was literally nothing to do with an actual game. We had the PSL was cancelled, postponed indefinitely because of COVID. which has ruined Aid's afternoon viewing on furlough. South Africa announced two new captains. They've got rid of de Kock, but I'll be honest, I don't think de Kock cares because he clearly didn't want the job in the first place and was just forced into it. So they've got Alger as their test captain, which I think's a good appointment. And then Bavuma as their white ball captain, which I thought was a bit of an interesting one. I like Bavuma, but I'm surprised maybe he was picked as the captain. What do you boys think?
Well, on the bright side, at least gets Bavuma in the team every week. So.
True, he's entertaining, and so I like to see him in the team.
So Dean Alger makes sense because he's been their one of their best batsmen for the last 5 or 6 years.
I honestly don't know who else you'd have given it to if you didn't give it to him.
Because you don't give it to a bowler, do you?
No.
You're not going to give it to a boarder, are you, or something like that?
No. As much as I think that was one of the four processes at one point, yeah, I don't think you go with Rabada.
Obviously, de Kock obviously affected his form in Pakistan, didn't he? Because I don't think he got a run at all, did he?
No, I don't think so.
And then the only other ones like that, Van der Dusen, maybe he's probably the next one that's probably got any sort of experience in that team. But yeah, Bavuma's a bit of a weird one in the white ball stuff because for me, he probably wouldn't be. Well, I don't really know what South Africa's like depth's like, but. He's not a brilliant white ball player, really, is he?
He's a good player, and he's doing a good job opening in the ODIs. But
he's not going to win you many games.
No, but I think he does a good job in ODIs opening. It was more the T20 that I was surprised by, because he always just seems to get 20 and out a lot. He just seems to get himself in and then gets 20 off probably 20 balls and ends out. And
if anything, I'd give, obviously, well, I don't know, obviously, if the cop wanted it, but in the ODI in the 2020 stuff, because obviously that's his main game, isn't it? And it's not as obviously as challenging as test being a captain in test cricket, is it? So
no, but he obviously didn't want it. I think the what's it from it. And then last thing I've got down from today news wise is lots of county signings. Mohammed Abbas has signed for Hampshire, so he might be opening the bowling with Abbott apparently. Kemar Roach has signed in the Red Bull stuff for, I think it was Surrey. I think that's right. And then the one that excited me and makes me want to go a game now is Yorkshire signed Lockie Ferguson for the T20 Blast. And I would love to go and watch a bit of Lockie because in the World Cup, watching him was absolutely class. He was probably the pick of bowlers I saw at the World Cup.
Quick mid.
Very, very quick, and that.
Has he played in any 2020 so far for New
Zealand? I definitely saw a picture of him in some kit, so he's at least in the squad.
I'm sure he has played. I think so. Yeah, well, he's played, or he's due to at some point. He's just. I think he's a really good bowler. And I think I'd KKR last year bowled him probably earlier, sooner than. Was it Cummins they had in, or was it someone else? They kept on picking someone ahead of him at the beginning, and then they bought Ferguson in, and he was probably the best bowler at times in the IPL.
Well, didn't he bowl in one of them super overs, and I don't think he even went for a run and got two wickets.
Something daft like that, yeah. So I really like Lockie Ferguson, I'll be honest. I think if I was to pick a World T20 side, I'd probably put him in, to be fair.
Yeah, he just scares me.
Yeah.
You're scary.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair point. He is scary, mate. That is true. But I think that's it for cricket news, unless anyone else knows of anything that I've missed, which is hardly possible, to be fair.
No, the badger won't miss anything, mate.
Ah, thanks, mate, thanks. I'll take that as a compliment for once. Right then. We're going to leave behind then the world of professional cricket because, let's be honest, it's never, ever, ever as fun as a bit of the old village cricket. And we're going to have a little look more specifically at the North Staffs League. Now, there has been lots of, well, I say lots, maybe not as many as normal, but there's still been a fair few comings and goings. The transfer deadline passed at the weekend. And, well, there was still quite a lot of action going on, shall we say. A couple of the main ones I've picked out. Big move for Port Hill, getting in Matt Coxon from Stone. Checkley seem to have added, I think they've now got three players, is it maybe, who've played first-class cricket or something along those lines.
Lord of batsmen as well, I think they're
batting
strong.
They've obviously already had Scott Alstone, and then they've added James Kettlebrook, who's a batsman from the Berkshire county team, well, minor county team, and Simon Guy, a keeper batsman from who's played for Yorkshire, which I thought was a...
I had coaching with him, actually.
Bloody hell, here we go.
Try and teach me how to bat.
Yeah, God help him.
Is that where it went wrong?
Yeah. A couple of other ones. Audley signing Ricardo Gordon, an ex-Warwickshire seamer. I mean, he looks fast from the pictures. I don't know if he actually is.
On the picture, he looks rapid.
On the picture, yeah, he looks scary fast, but I don't know if he really is.
Looks like he chucks it, almost. I don't know whether he does. He just looks like he's got a bit of a dinky arm. Like, it could be dinky the whole way through, but he just looks like he chucks it a little bit.
What else have we got? We've got Bagnall signed Joe Bridgewater from Whitmore, gone and joined his mate Wermo. Barlaston has signed George Horbrook from Stone, who likes to give it a bit of a smash, don't you, boys?
He's hit me for a couple of big sixes.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Really looking forward to playing against them this year.
Stone have brought in George Harding from Crewe. I think did we mention George Harding on the live episode, was it, when we were talking about spinners?
Yeah, potentially. I think we did, actually, yeah. I think we mentioned his Crewe days. Good player, mate. Yeah, I'll be really interested to see how he goes in, like, Premier Division cricket. You know,
you're about the live episode, Tony. But I'd had a fair few beers, mate.
I won't even mention that, mate. And then the last thing I've got down really for transfers, because there was a lot, and people obviously can go on the North Staff's website or the Centre website and have a look at them. They can see who Big Lens have signed a few extra I've seen. See who the Wedges have signed. That's been my winter of texting and Facebooking people who don't know me, begging them to come. But the last one was Norton and Hales. Now, sadly, I'm sure we'll all agree, Kidsgrove, I've gone down to one team, which is a real shame, because Kidsgrove, I've always enjoyed going and playing there, to be fair, and always got on with them. And I know, like, Spud, who plays for them, top lad. So disappointing to see them have to drop down to one team. But that meant, obviously, there was a lot of players that needed new clubs, and I think four of them have gone along to Norton and Hales, who seem to be putting on, shall we say, a big, big promotion push to try and get themselves into Div 1. They've already got... Is it Kashif Ali Moon as well? They've added four players from Kidsgrove. I think, is it Darren Long, Ant Sheeran, Khalid, and someone else who's...
Pringle,
that was it. I should know because I spoke to him. Sadly, mate, I don't think we've quite got the resources behind us to match the offer, shall we say.
You said that very well there.
Wow, that was political.
Political. Get me a job in that.
There's a career in here for you.
And they've also added, for people who don't know, Darren Long's obviously a cricket agent, runs, is it Club Vit, is it Vite Sports? I want to say, is that what we're called? He's also added Ben Mike, the Leicestershire all-rounder, as a category two. So what do we make of the transfers, boys? And what do we make of... What are your thoughts on, obviously, Kidsgrove losing... out on going down to one team, and what do you make of the business from Norton and Hales, I guess, as part of the question. I'm going to go to Johnny first.
Sad for Kidsgrove, mate. Honestly, really is, because I really liked, like I say, really liked a lot of the lads down at Kidsgrove. Sad to see that we won't be playing against them. Played against them a lot over the last few years, so a bit gutted about that. But we've still got plenty of lads down there we know that we're mates with, so I'm sure it would be a few years till they work themselves way back up. So just hope they stick at it. The thing I always fear, mate, is some teams that go down to one team. I just fear that, like, in the next couple of years, the next thing that could happen is they go all together, and that's what I don't want to happen. So that would be my concern. So as long as that doesn't happen, as long as they're all right, that's sound. But yeah, that's the main thing about Kidsgrove. Just gutted, really. We had some good games. Had some really good games, actually. My first ever senior 100 was at Kidsgrove. So.
Oh, of course he chucks that in.
Drop it in there. Clang.
It was a great day. I got hit in the face.
Against that pro, Jono? Was it a couple of years ago? Was it Inzamam's, like, nephew or something?
Yeah, Inzamam Ulhaq's nephew.
What a type he was.
Yeah, very, very strange lad. One's a bad player, but... an absolute pipe.
When he was batting, no one said a word to him or anything like that. And I think Rhodey got hold of him, didn't he, first over and hit him for like 16. And then he got Rhodey out the over after him, was in his face giving him verbals. I'm like, mate, what are you doing?
I think
you're
just
like the standing pro. Why are you kicking off?
We also played against Majid Haq, Scottish legend, that year.
Yes.
That was also a good laugh. Scotland World Cup hero, Majid Haq.
Just on the one team thing, I think it'd be interesting to bring Andy in, because obviously Betley were a Prem / Div 1 club and have gone down to one team. What would you sort of suggest if you were talking to Kidsgrove, and sort of what is a one team club do you think has sort of got to be like the plan for the future, the aim?
I think if you're going down to one team and you're having it as a essentially a second 11, I know it's not a second 11, you're only at one team, but in a second 11 league, try and sort of get your infrastructure sourced as much as possible. So any sort of spare money you've got, update your nets, update your mowers, update, you know, and try and sort of build a new, more modern club. Because we had the issue when we were two teams. One was a Prem team, one was a Div 7 team, and they're too far apart. So if you've got somebody who's playing in Div 7 who's doing well, first team is short and is called up, no matter how well you're doing in Div 7, you're out of your depth in the Prem, you're out of your depth in Div 1. So that's one thing. At least if you've got one team, everybody is at their natural level then, and you can start winning games and start enjoying it a bit more. Obviously, the social side comes from that. But yeah, just sort of stick at it. We're, I think, in a better place than we were 2 or 3 years ago, partly because we couldn't be any worse. But I mean, eventually things will come around. Kidsgrove are a proper club, aren't they? So they'll come out of it. And good luck to them.
Yeah, I think it was good to see that they've entered a Sunday side as well, to be fair. So at least there is still two teams playing at the weekend, even if it's one Saturday, one Sunday, which is always good. Does anyone want to comment on any of the actual transfers or any particular team's business at all? I'd say I know the Norton and Hales, has been noticed, has now become Kidsgrove and Hales, as one comment I'm sure I saw on Twitter when they were announced.
I just think Norton and Hales need to go up this year, mate, or... Yeah.
Questions squeaky, will be asked.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
If I just better think on that 11, I would say. The games, then, you know, you never know. A couple of arguments and stuff going around the club, whereas it seems like, I don't know, I'm not going to suggest how many players are being paid, but I'm going above half the team.
We'll put in a little legal, what's it there? We're just speculating. Ada's just speculating. Goodbye to Jono. It's time for Jono to go. Thank you for joining us for what you could, Jono.
And being on it.
Cheers, lads.
Have a good one. I don't think it's necessarily good, but we'll get on to paid players in a little bit. Just before we do, though, obviously, there is pros allowed this year. And there's been a mixture, I would say, of sort of tactics, shall we say, on pros. So Portal haven't gone for one. But obviously, they have signed Matt Coxon from Stone, who we all know is a very good local player. You've then got, obviously, Meekins, again, haven't really got as such one pro, but they've signed that Paul Byrne, the spinner from the staff's team, who played down in Warsaw before. So you've got sort of, I guess you're looking at their sort of like good, not non-first class players, shall we say. But then you've got sort of different ones. So you've got Leek, who've got ex-first class players. So you're looking at like Alex Thompson, Alex Marler. But then I think the one that stands out to me, and it might just be because he's the most noticeable name on there, but Ashcombe Park with Ross Whiteley. Now, I know we mentioned him to Pat Brown, but that's a fair signing, surely. Because every time I see Ross Whiteley, it's not, you're normally watching the white ball fly into the stands, to be fair to him. So, I mean...
Can you please not mention his name?
Aid's got him in the cup, so that could be fun. And I can't wait to head along to that. We might have to do a live podcast feed from there.
Between them and... Beersham, I think. Yeah.
Well, Beersham have got Zen Malik, obviously, who has been sort of in and around, I guess, parts the first class counties. But yeah, just wondered, what is there any sort of pros that stand out to any of you guys? Obviously, there's Christy Villian, is it Villian? I can never say his name right.
He was joined Bagnall Ante, who was previously at Burslem. You got Liam Banks, who's joined Emmeath. You've got Yasir Ali at Sandiford. One that I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing at some point is Arak Thomas at Caverswell. He holds the record for the quickest 100, isn't it, and T20s or something.
Stop mentioning these people, mate. I want to sleep tonight.
He's a big boy as old Arak, and I think
he's... Has he actually signed, though? Because I know he's had signed. But obviously, you know, with at the minute, probably when we start the season...
Well, that's the other thing, whether they all appear or not, isn't it, I guess.
Yeah, because obviously the hotel money and all that stuff, and hopefully he doesn't.
Is there any that stand out to you boys, or anyone that you think, sort of you look at them teams and think, I wouldn't mind having him, it's our team? Obviously, I know you're going to say most of them, but if you were a Prem club, who from that sort of list of names or people who've recently proed, would you be saying, yeah, that's who I'd be putting my money behind?
A lot of them, to be fair. I think they've all done pretty good business, haven't they? You know, even if they're not, you know, technically an overseas pro or whatever, but they're clearly all good cricketers, have played staffs at some point or county books or, you know, come from counties. And, you know, I think our top league has always had good pros, hasn't it? And even Div 1 have normally had pretty decent pros. And then, like I say, you know, Norton Ales, on their 11 is obviously miles better than anyone else's in our league. And, you know, they've clearly got, you know, admirations of going and try and get back to the Prem, which, you know, is fair enough to them if that's, you know, the way they want to do it like. But, you know, they should walk our league. And they've probably got a very good Div 1 side there. Caverswell, like you said, if, you know, this pro signs, he's a good player. I think Sandon, or Sam Batch, I always go, Sam Batch, that's it. Sam Batch have signed a lad that's maybe half decent as well. I don't think there's been too many transfers, has there? But there's been one or two good, very good players from each club, more or less, haven't there?
Yeah, I think that's true. I'd say, I don't think there's been massive. Sometimes you get absolute massive transfers. I don't think there's been massive. But you say, there seems to have been quite smart business. And, like, I think Port Hill have been smart. They've got a proper good Premier League player who's also going to be, I'd assume, involved with coaching and stuff, and Matt Coxon in. And obviously, I mean, I was dead disappointed because I know John Hancock, and I was dead disappointed last year they weren't allowed to have pros, because he showed me the video of that South African lad they signed, and I was just watching him thinking, oh my God, he looked like a 6 foot six absolute beefcake who was bowling lightning. No, it was a different one. But find the videos of him, he was bowling absolute lightning bouncers. I'll have to find it for you and send it to you another time. But, oh, mate, I just want to go watch just to see how many.
Was it Bashir or something like
that? Yeah, Bashir. They were wanting Bashir again. Mm. Bashir liked to be here, I was told. But he couldn't come back, so they had a different South African. Well, they were going to have a different South African. He looked lightning. But I think they've made a smart decision, because obviously it's going to be a risk this year still, isn't it, with everything going on. But, yeah, seems to be quite a few good pros. Any pros over the last few years that you've played with or against or seen and thought, wow, they were good, that obviously I haven't mentioned already? Ooh. You've played against or with? Obviously, Abdul Razak was your mate, wanted, dude. I mean, I've never laughed.
Last year, obviously, we didn't have any, did we? So yeah. My memory's a bit dodgy at the best of time. Wow. So I can't think of a year before that.
I just always remember watching you play it. Longton, and I think it might have been a Sunday or something. Abdul Razak getting caught for about 3 big sixes onto the toll gate by Ridgeway, Ridgeway might have been playing on your team, might have been someone else.
Rob Emmings might have been, actually.
Oh, and I can't, no, someone who played.
Oh, what's his name?
Is it Vitchie or someone? Holloway or something.
Yeah, Holloway.
Yes, Rich Holloway, that was it. And he beat him for 3 big sixes, and suddenly he had a tight calf, and you had to come back on ball. Well, he didn't have a tight calf when he was batting and trying to get the win, though, did he?
Well, when he was dropping catches off me on the boundary.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I say, you know, over the years, like I say, you played against some brilliant pros. That way, who's the lad at Bagnall? Is it what's his name now? Asif Raz, or is it?
Yeah, he signed for Newcastle and Arts Hill this year.
Yeah, he got over 100 wickets. I know we were in Div 3 back then, but he got over 100 wickets. All your Prem teams have good pros. You know, Div 1, we had like Yasir Ali, Raj Kumar, didn't you? I think when, who was it now? Blythe had a good side, didn't they, a couple of years ago when they were in Div 1. We had Matt Goodwin. Who's the batsman now? Is it Chris Beach? Chris Beach is a very good player. And even Div 2 now, you still got some decent pros, you know. But obviously, last year and this year, you're probably not going to have as many, are you? But, you know, you might see next year, you might get a few more overseas pros that are, you know, quite quality players.
Yeah. Anyone that you've noticed on your travels at all, Andy? I know you see probably more cricket than us two, to be fair, I would guess.
When we were in the Prem, obviously, that Aid says they're all good players. That Christy Villowen, the one who's was at Burslem, all who he's signed for now.
Bagnall he's gone to.
He got about 140 in about 10 minutes at Betley. Couple in Div 1, that Asin Tariq, he was a good player for us. He got about 500-600 runs when we were in Div 1. He's come back from Nottingham. So he'll be a useful signing for Eccleshaw, I think. Coxon's obviously a very good signing for Port Hill. There's one who I am sort of interested in, who we were going to sign when we were a Div 1 club, Sumit Kumar, who I think's joining Burslem, because he got a fantastic record in Indian first-class cricket. I think he was averaging about...
Has he batted like for India A or something at some point?
One of Dhoni's protégés at Bruce State side. So it'll be interesting to see how he does, because like I say, we sort of signed him and then it didn't happen for whatever reason, probably because he didn't want to play in Div 7.
There is one I've missed off actually to him.
Go on then.
Is it named Ali Khan?
Yeah.
God. Remember playing against him. Jesus Christ, he can hit a ball.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times actually off people. Yeah. Moving away from obviously like the sort of the specific people, but obviously we've talked a little bit the other day about paid players and sort of pros. What is people's opinions on paying people and pros? Because I have my ideas, but I'd be interested first to hear what you guys think or don't necessarily have to say whether you think it's good or bad, but what you think could be the ideal situation, maybe, I guess, or what you think clubs should be looking at doing instead of maybe you think they should pay 11 players and try and win by the league, or you might think differently. So I just wondered what you thought. I'll let you go first, Andy, seeing as you've been a bit more committee based than probably the other two of us.
I think the cat is out of the bag now, isn't it? We're not going to go back to a system where you get two paid players when, like you say, most of the top two leagues are paying 6 or 7 minimum. So people, if they suddenly say, well, we're not paying you, well, we'll go and play in the Cheshire League, we'll go and play in the Birmingham League. So I don't think that's going to happen. Whether it's an ideal situation, probably not. But if people are good enough to be paid, and it's debatable whether many of them are, in my view, good enough to be paid, but if somebody's prepared to pay them, I suppose they are. So it's not ideal by any means, but if everybody's paid, we found when we were in Div 1 and we were only paying James Price 5 or 6 times, we found he was getting 120 every week and the rest of the team were making 40. It was like watching Joe Root in the first test or at any other point in the last 12 months. And everybody else was just nowhere near at his level. And you're finding that the opposition were knocking Price's runs off in 23, 24 overs because they had blokes who were playing for Durham or, you know,
yeah.
Ryan Davis at Newcastle, I think, got 65 in 14 balls against us, chasing just because we basically had nobody who could bowl. So if you're going to compete, you've got to be paying players until there's a better system. And now everybody's sort of had a taste of being paid. I don't think there is going to be a better system.
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
I'll suggest something in a minute that I would have suggested should have been what they maybe should have done instead of just open it up fully. But, dude, what do you think?
You can't blame clubs for, you know, if they've got the money, they've got the money. You know, my only thing is you don't want, you know, good juniors having to play second or third team cricket when they're probably good enough to play first team. But, you know, with any young lad, you're giving a fail, just say two or three times out of five, aren't you? But you might have a couple of them good innings where you think, you know, Christ, he's going somewhere, do you know what I mean? Because, you know, some clubs do back the coaching and stuff like that, but then again, they also do pay a load of money and then it's kind of not working, is it? I kind of like what we do with England lending three players, you know what I mean? And, you know, I can't say myself kind of that, you know, I don't agree with people paying players whatever, you know, whatever. But then, you know, if you're going to pay more or less 10 or 11 players, are these players then going to stick around and put the money back behind the bar? Or are they just going to go home and on a Saturday night, the club's dead, the club's not actually making any money? And also, you get people leaving, which it's happened to a few clubs around here, hasn't it? It's that players from second teams have left all first teams because they're not going to get a game, or, you know, they don't like how sometimes how too competitive it might be, because, you know, if you're paying 10 or 11 players, you've got to win. It's not, you know, we'll win three or four out of five, we'll all have a good laugh and we'll all go in the bar after the game, which we do, you know. We might win, say, out of the 22 games, we might win 12 or 13, but no matter if we lose, we all stay down in the club and have a beer and that. And then you're also putting the money back behind the bar, aren't you? Which means the club's still going to be healthy. And your first team and second team come together. But I think some clubs will play that many players that there's no, it's not a club. It's just, we want to win. We want to make sure we've got 22 players on a Saturday. And, you know, if that means having to pay probably the whole of the first team, it's what you have to do. But I think there should be some rule in it. But then again, how can you? You probably had clubs before when it was just one pro that you'd have backhand payments. Do you know what I mean? It was clearly happening. You know, you can say, oh, no, it didn't. It must have happened at some clubs. And it's like, how would you say, oh, well, you can only pay three players. But then, you know, unless there's big fines for if you find out, but trying to find out is another point, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just paid over the odds for coaching or groundsmanning, then, aren't you? You're not paid to play, you're paid to or do the bar.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop people working, can you?
At the end of the day, it is club cricket, isn't it? And, you know, if you can make a bit of money out of it, fair enough. You know, I'm not going to argue with anyone about it, you know, with that. But I think, you know, like our league, I don't think three or four players should be fine. Do you know what I mean? If them three or four players are brilliant players, it also adds to the standard of cricket, which I think the standard has dropped a bit these last couple of years. Apart from the pros, I think the actual standard of probably Div 2, you know, just as an example, I think has dropped a little bit. But, you know, I think they do help, having a good overseas pro, because you can listen to them, you can get advice off them, you know, if they played in different countries and that, you can learn off them and stuff. But I think maybe just paying too many players might be too much, but especially like in the Prem, you know, in the Prem, you want the best side, don't you? So if that means you've got to pay people, you've got to pay people, haven't you?
Yeah, I think, as you say, I think it's a bit sad that people have to pay so many just to get a side out. I understand the competitive bit and being competitive, and I think that's fair enough. I think if I'm honest, I'd say that there should be sort of, and I think you sort of mentioned it then, like there should be a thing about having either you have sort of three paid play. You have some form of point system, I guess, to it, but you either have yourself an overseas pro who is the business, or you have yourself, as you say, two or three people who are, I don't know what you'd class them as, but not non-first class players who are classed as an English player, if you get what I mean. I don't see the need to be paying more than three, maybe four at most players if you can, but I think it's become a bit of a vicious circle, as you say. I don't think there's any way back now, I think that's the worry for clubs who are paying probably 10, 11 players, because it's all right at the moment while you've got the money to do it. But something goes wrong, or you get yourselves relegated because it's just a bad year, or something happens and you need suddenly money for something else. think that's more the worry, is what happens to clubs then, because I think we've all heard sort of horror stories a little bit about other clubs where they've been in trouble and stuff because they haven't been able to pay. I know I can't believe I'm saying this, but I did hear rumours last year that one club had put their paid players on furlough, which sounds astounding. And I hope that wasn't true. I hope that was just a sort of a bullshit rumour. But it just seems a bit much to me that people are being paid. But then you look at local football and you hear about people being paid to play for what can only be described as really as Sunday pub football. Let's not beat around the bush. If you're playing anything lower than Northern Prem, it's not really... You're in like, what is it, the 10th, 11th tier of national football. I don't think that people are being paid at that level. So I guess it's swings and roundabouts, a vicious circle in every sport. But I certainly think it's better for cricket round here, as you say, to have less people being paid, but the people who are being paid at a higher quality, I guess, if you can get them. But yeah, I think opening it up after happened, because there was clearly backhanders and stuff, but then at the same age drinking Prosecco, wow. But at the same time, I think it has been detrimental in some senses to local cricket leagues, if that makes any sense.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, didn't you? You know, it's kind of like, with us, obviously, if we go three players, you've still got eight players that are going to be proper clubmen and, you know, we'll always be there no matter what happens. And then even if, you know, the club, you know, especially with COVID and that, the club might struggle for money, that you only need two or three players then. And if you only got, you know, if you've got still got eight decent first team cricketers, you're going to be all right, aren't you? Whereas if you're paying, let's just say 10, 11 players, and then because if that means will also mean you might have a couple of clubmen that might not be brilliant cricketers, but have always played first team, even if they batted 9 or 10 and not bowled or whatever, but they'll play for you. And they've left because they're like, well, I'm fed up with this. You know, it's ruining our club or whatever. And, you know, as soon as them sort of players go, that's when you start struggling, then, isn't it? And then soon as then again, if you might run out of money or whatever happens, because, you know, things do happen, don't they? And then you're going to start struggle to even fit, you know, one team out, never mind two.
Yeah, I think it's a fine line, and it's a very much a balancing act, and I don't think it's even close to easy for clubs to do. And I think if you're a big club, it's probably a lot easier. I think it's more probably the smaller clubs who are trying to keep up and compete, I guess, it's the issue for. And I think I can say that as having helped with recruitment this year at Wedgwood. We want to get people in, and we're trying to improve things off the pitch, but obviously, at the end of the day, what appeals to a lot of people, as well as obviously the club being a nice clubhouse and having nice facilities and having lads to get on with or having friends playing for you, a big thing is people want being the highest division they can be with the best chance of winning each game. And I think at the moment that probably only comes with if you're willing to spend money on it. And I would rather spend, and I don't get me wrong, you've got to pay money for some people and so that's what you have to do, but I think everyone out there who's actually bothered about cricket would rather be spending the money on new nets or the juniors or whatever. And I think it's just about getting that balancing act right for me and not ending up whereby the top two or three divisions, every single player's ending up being paid, and if you can't afford it, you're down to one team. That'd be my sort of like view on it.
I'll ask you two a little question, actually.
Do you think
now, well, obviously, you know, the money that gets chucked about, do you think players are more bothered about playing high standards or about earning money?
I think it depends on who it is. I think some people will want to play a higher standard just because that's the sort of person they are. I think other people will want to go wherever they're going to get paid more. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it just depends what you're after from your cricket. If you love cricket and you want to earn money from, and you're not bothered about earning money from it, you just want to play the best standard you can with your mates and enjoy the cricket, then you maybe not as bothered by the money. But I think most people are always going to admit that at the end of the day, you're not going to say no to being paid for doing something you enjoy doing anyway. I mean, if someone said to me, instead of paying a tenner every week, we'll pay you 20 quid every week, I'd absolutely jump at it, because let's be honest, it's saving you some money. But it's it's a tough one. I don't think there probably is that many people who go for the money necessarily over the standard. There probably is some, but I can't
it's
blame them.
Money based now than it ever has been.
Oh yeah, it's more now than ever before, and I think it'll only get worse. That's my worry. Having
well, then again,
spent a winter talking to people,
we've had a few in our league, you know, or even Div 3 over the last couple of years, where people have gone for money to go down the divisions. But then I don't know if it's also, you know, because you don't know what the conversations are. It could be, well, if you get us up within these so many leagues, which a few teams have actually, that have, you know, put the money out, they have ended up going to Div 1 or to the Prem. Mm. And, you know, if that's meant them, you know, paying a bit of money out, but then players do eventually go back to that standard. And, you know, if they're getting offered, you know, whatever, you know, figures and stuff, it's an odd balance, isn't it? And,
yeah. I think there's a place for paid players, don't get me wrong, and I think it improves the standard. And I think it's really good to have either good standard English players who've been in and around counties, or whether it's first-class players from other countries. I think that's important because it obviously helps the local lads and the younger lads to get better knowledge and experience. So I think there is a place for paid players.
There's also, like, choosing the right player as well.
Well, that's key, yeah.
Is also that if you are going to take some money, at least put some behind the bar, right? Do a bit of coaching or, you know, just something to give something back. And then you don't mind, do you? And, you know, or if someone, you know, you've gone through the divisions and you've got to your standard, you know how good you are, and you know you get a bit of money, whatever. And if it's helping, you're off the field life and whatever. Because again, the day, even though it's a bit of fun, if it can help you in your life, like, you're going to take it, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it's an extra holiday, or, you know, towards whatever you want, put it towards, yeah. Or holiday out, whatever you want. You can't really blame anyone, can you?
No, I don't blame anyone. I think it's just one of them things, isn't it? I think we'll leave it there, because I'm sure we'll get plenty of replies based on that already, to be fair.
I think we've been quite fair, actually.
I think we've been quite fair. All
different aspects of it.
No, I think we've kept it pretty fair, to be fair. Right then, we're going to move on. We've got a couple of things left. So first of all, room 101. Now, last week, Dan Allen from Sandstead came on. Dan gave us one about basically people who appear to be chuckers, maybe seem to have a bit of a suspect action, and he said that you shouldn't moan, it's only club cricket. I think, I want to say, Andy, did you disagree with him?
I can't remember, but I do know who all just called Ricardo Gordon a chucker. So
John just called him a chucker.
Yeah, John has just called someone he's never seen bowl a chucker based on a photo. But John has gone now, so he can't defend himself.
I think I split it again, didn't I? I think if somebody's playing in the Prem and they're chucking it, then yeah, call them as a chucker. If they're playing in, you know, yours and my standards, Ash.
Yeah, there's some suspect actions at this level, trust me. I sort of agree with you there, but the vote went and it was a case of you're still allowed to moan. You're still allowed to moan. There was no chucking it in the bin. I think it will go about 60% of the vote. So sadly, Dan, it wasn't to be this time. But there we go. Now, we've had another suggestion come in from a Jim Amis. Amis? Amis, I think it is. I hope I've got that right, Jim. I'm sorry if I haven't. And he wanted us to put something a little bit different to the Room 101. He wanted us to put in team songs. Now, we're not thinking like you're whacking a bit of Sweet Caroline on after the game or whatever. That's fair enough. But we're talking about actual songs where you've like wrote the lyrics based on your cricket club. Now, we haven't got necessarily any club cricket versions. I do know that there was a Wedgwood one at one stage that the first team sung a couple of years ago, but there was too many F's and Jeff's in there. I thought we'd best not put it out. So what I am going to play out, though, is the suggestion that Jim sent us, which was one from Sussex. So we'll try and have a little bit of a listen to the Sussex boys singing, and then we'll see whether you think it should go in the bin.
Together!
So, Andy, what do you make of the team song? Now, I'm a big fan of having music on in the changing rooms, as we discussed the previous week. I'm all for putting on a bit of a indie anthem or sing-along classic when you've won or whatever. I'm a little bit against this sort of a chanting, though, just because, I don't know, I'd rather, and I don't like Adele, but I'd rather listen to Chorley singing Adele again than that, because it just, I don't know, something about it just doesn't sit right with me. I think I prefer the more the football chant style one, I guess, than that. Yeah, I don't know what you call that, really. A bit more like a nursery rhyme.
To be honest, I just wouldn't let me ever play again.
I mean, I think that's fair enough, yeah. I mean, as much as I enjoy seeing Geoff Archer smashing his Adidas bat into the locker as the percussion instruments of that song, for me, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I quite like a normal sort of, as I say, just putting on a bit of Sweet Caroline or a bit of Gold by Spandau Ballet or a bit of Oasis and having a sing along to that. But for me, the making your own chant that sounds like that and singing along, not for me.
Yeah, it's Chaz and Dave without Chaz and Dave, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you can best describe that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't really know. Bit of rabbit, I would say. What do you think, dude? Because I can't work out whether you're going to be the sort of one who's there banging the fist on the ceiling, swinging around singing Biggie End by The Green or some shite, I don't know, I'm trying to make one up. Or whether you're more like me and just think you just whack on a good song and just have a bit of a piss about in the changing rooms.
I used to hate it, like, I think Meekins used to do it, didn't he? He just, bang on, I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. Just because when you've lost, like, you're kind of pissed off anyway, aren't you? I know, obviously, it's called cricket, and you get over it in 5 minutes when someone brings you a pint, but straight after a game, you're a bit pissed off, aren't you, and that. Just putting normal music on, and everyone's having a sing and that, because, you know, even if you've lost and someone's put a decent tune on, you're like, oh, you know, you have a little sing to yourself and picks you up a bit. But no, I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest.
Right then. So I think it's clear from us we'd throw it in the bin. We're not a fan of a team song in that sense. But we'll put it to the poll on Twitter as always. So please go on and have a vote. I'm sure Jim will be voting, obviously, to put it in the bin as soon as it's his suggestion. And thank you too for sending it in. It's really good listeners getting involved.
Don't make me laugh about my suggestion. When I said it didn't get put in the bin, and then when Benny L suggested it went in the bin.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it says a lot that the people listen to the professionals more than us, but I can't blame them for that. So that poll will go up. And then we've got one last thing, and that is, of course, we were talking about, we made our predictions before the series started. It's fair to say we have all already lost. We won't go back over them because I think we might be a bit embarrassed, to be fair. Although I think two of us will have got the 3-1 right, I would say. I think that was me and Jono. Aid nearly there with 3-0. Andy, the pessimist, at 4-0. I mean, wasn't to be. But I guess, although was it 4-0 to England? Were you just being really optimistic and I just haven't wrote down? But I assumed it was 4-0 to India.
Both were wrong, weren't they?
Yeah, either way, you've got to give your money up.
No one said 2-2 anyway, because obviously that's where it's going to finish.
Oh, don't. So we are going to give £5 each to our chosen charity. Now, we were hoping to announce it tonight, but it hasn't quite been confirmed yet. But basically, we'll be announcing our chosen charity, hopefully in the next few days. So we'll be donating to that. We'll put, obviously, a Just Giving Up, because what we want people to do is, don't worry about, obviously, I know people at other podcasts have Patreons whereby people donate money to them and they basically get a little bit of money out of doing the podcast. We're not arsed about that. We'd rather raise money for a charity. So we'll put that out in the next week or two, hopefully. And we're also going to have some bat stickers we're hoping people will donate a couple of quid and they'll have a bat sticker that has been made for us to stick on the back of their bat, obviously, or if you haven't got a bat and you just fancy having a sticker because you want to be nice to charity and nice to us boys, that'd be nice.
You give me one, Tina.
You can buy your sticker, though. I ain't giving you the sticker as well. You've got to donate to charity. So we'll be having some stickers on the go as well. So we'll get all that out announced there. But the first £20 is secured for the charity anyway, because us boys can't predict
well, we can predict parts of England's failures in the subcontinent, but couldn't quite get him nailed on. But that's, I think, it for this week, boys. So big thank you to Andy for joining us this week and almost basically ended up filling in for Jono. We could, bit of a off job from Jono, too busy, isn't he, the important chairman?
And was late coming on as well.
Well, we weren't going to mention it. He may have complained about Chantal making a mess, but shh. But yeah, so big thanks to Andy for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you back at some point, whether it's to talk Betley North staffs or touring or England. I'm sure we'll bring you back at some point, mate.
Cheers, guys. Yeah, enjoyed it again.
Good. That's what we'll add to you. I'm dreading the day that the guest comes on and goes, yeah, cheers, lads. This has been a fucking waste of my night.
Yeah, you're all a bunch of pipes and know nothing about cricket.
Yeah. Next week, I am delighted to say that obviously we will summarise the Test series in full and look ahead to the White Ball series for England and India. But we have got a really special guest on. We have got the captain of Worcestershire's Red Bull team, Woodstock Pro. Does sort of have links back to Stoke as well, because we know his half-brother. We've got Joe Leach joining us for hopefully the whole episode as well. So I'm sure that'll be good again, because I know everyone absolutely loved having Benny Howell on talking about club cricket and all sorts. So I'm sure it'll be great having Joe on, because I'm told he's a top, top lad. So we're going to have Joe on, so that'll be really good. As always, big thanks to Woodstock for supporting us and sorting us out like the giveaway prize and stuff. And last thing is just please, if you can, go and give us a follow. I think we're on 799 Twitter followers, nearly at 800. Hoping we might get to 1,000 by the sort of time the season starts. North Staffs guys, we really want North Staffs guys to get involved, because we want to have a North Staffs bit every week through the season and get a different member of a different club on every week. So please get involved, send us messages. I know we've had quite a few, to be fair, starting to, but if we can get even more, that'd be brilliant. And obviously subscribe to the pod, review the pod if you can. Whoever Stokey48 was who gave us a really lovely review saying our banter and knowledge is great. I mean, clearly lying for your teeth, but thank you for it anyway. So yeah, if people can support us through whether it's the charity that we'll announce next couple of weeks or just through following and subscribing, that'll be meant. And we'll see you next week for another episode of the Down at Third Man podcast. Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.